Well, good morning, Stavanger Lutheran Church, and welcome to our worship service for today. We have a few announcements. There's going to be none of our regular Bible studies, but we're going to be starting the Lent series on Genesis 37 through 50, from Joseph to Jesus, proclaiming the Prince of Peace with the Prime Minister of Egypt. So that'll be starting with a 5:45 p.m. meal, and then we'll start the Bible study at 6:30 p.m. So that begins this Wednesday, February 14th. There's also an outreach meeting on February 13th at 9:30 a.m. And there's the offering plate is at the back. It will not be passed out during the service, but it can be found there at the entry, along with the Deacon Caring Fund. We also are having a fellowship dinner after the service today, and so that we'll say the table prayer at the end of the service. And then there's something about Camp Joy.
Good morning. I just want to remind you that it's not too early to start thinking about summer camp for you kids. The dates and stuff are listed on a poster over here on the camp board. There's also retreats that's available for all ages. And there's these brochures at all the different tables by the doors, as well as by the camp board. There's a senior high winter weekend, if anybody, you know, that would be interested in that. And that's this weekend, actually. But I think there's still room. So if you wanted to go, let me know and we'll check into that. And the confirmation retreat is coming, too, for the confirmation kids. So, and I think Pastor Sean is dealing with that. But if you have any questions about camp, let us know. We have scholarships available for each camper that goes for the summer. And we haven't discussed the amount that we're going to give to each camper yet this year, but note that it's a significant amount. So we don't want anybody to not go because of money. So camp is a wonderful place, and we just really encourage the kids to take a week out of their summer and check out camp.
Awesome, thank you. And we do also have the Lord's Supper or Communion. Or do we have it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. It is going to be in the back room there after the service as well. And I just wanted to draw your attention. I added it this week, and hopefully we'll keep it going forward. Right at the end of your bulletin is the readings for next week. And so this is just so that as we go through the pericope texts, you could maybe have a chance to read them ahead of service and just be immersed more in the Word. And it might prepare your hearts a little bit more to receive the message as well. So that's just something to check out there. And just if anyone doesn't know the Jas thing, that's James. So that might be confusing. There's no Jasper in the Bible. So I think that's all, unless I'm forgetting some sort of announcement. No? Okay, well, let us have our call to worship now from Psalm 50, verses 1 through 3. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. Let us quiet our hearts now. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'd please open our hearts today, Lord, to hear your word, to be blessed by it, and to be renewed by that as we We come with our many burdens from the week as we come here as recognizing our sin. We just come to you as our living hope, Lord. We pray that as your word is read today, as the hymns and songs are sung, and as we hear the message today, that you would be there with it and that you would bless us all through it. Father, help us during the service to be attentive and to benefit from these things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, would you now rise for worship and song? We're starting with Come, People of the Risen King.
Ephesians 2, verses 6 through 8. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Please be seated and continue singing with us the song Grace.
Your grace is made to send her home from death to life forever.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on His name, He gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them His Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord. Let us now confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. We're going to have Sophie come up and read the scripture reading. Oh, there you are. From Exodus 34.
The radiant face of Moses. Sorry. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hand, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and the leaders of the community came back to him and spoke to them. After all the Israelites came near him and gave them the commands of the Lord that the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face, but whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And then he came out and told the Israelites what he had heard. Then they saw his face was radiant. Then Moses put his veil back over his face until he went to speak with the Lord again.
Thank you so much, Sophie. Well, so now we're just going to come before the Lord with some prayer. We have a few requests. Melissa and Randy, I think it was Richardson, is that right? Yeah. Just dealing with some cancer on the kidney and the surgery on the 15th, so we'll lift them both up in prayer. And also Dave and Kathy Arvis, they want some prayer for health concerns. So we'll just lift those up to the Lord and pray. Let's come now. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all this worship and for this opportunity to come here and hear your word, Lord, and come before your presence. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity in Christ, Lord. Lord, we pray for those who are suffering. Lord, we lift them up, especially those who are in our midst, or relations, or friends, Lord. We pray for Melissa and Randy, Lord, as dealing with this upcoming surgery. Lord, would you please give the doctors what they need, strengthen them, and help them to be wise in what they're doing, and to have steady hands and steady minds throughout that, Lord. We just pray that you would eliminate this cancer, Father. Father, we also pray for the Aarhuses, Lord. We just pray that you would be with them, and that your hand would be upon them, and that you would strengthen them with good health and give them healing in this time, Lord. But we also pray that your Holy Spirit would come upon all those who are suffering now, Lord, that through these times that they would lean more and more on you and in faith, Lord, trusting your good promises to them. Lord, we pray that you would put that on their hearts, that they would turn more and more to you in this time, and just surrender totally to your will there, Lord. We pray a blessing upon all who are suffering. We also pray for our government and for our leaders, Lord, and on a federal level and also state level, Lord, as the Senate is reconvening, Lord, and there's lots going on in Minnesota, Lord, now as the houses start getting back in session. Lord, just pray for your blessing over them. And you bless the senators, especially from our area, that would they'd be able to serve well there. We pray for our mayors and town councilors and also the police force, Lord, that you'd continue to uphold justice in the area. And we thank you for all their service. Let's pray for the school teachers, that you would bless them and their work as they continue, and strengthen them, Lord. We finally pray for all of us, that we would be able to have open hearts to hear your word today, and that it would work mightily in us, Lord, so that we could be more and more conformed to your image and more trusting in your promises. We ask this in Jesus' name, and we pray as our Lord has taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite Pastor John for the sermon.
Invite the congregation to rise as you're able for the reading of God's word. Reading today from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 18. Read in Jesus' name. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is God's word. You may be seated. This is in the church calendar, the Sunday called Transfiguration Sunday. The gospel passage for today, I'll read for you also, is from the gospel, Mark chapter 9, where we have an account of Jesus going up the mountain here. Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Moses and Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly they looked around. They no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. There's a lot of bright light in these passages. Blinding bright light. The only thing we can really compare to is the sun, which I see now is shining. Welcome sight. As we think ahead to the prospect of spring and summer, spending more time outside, those of us with fair complexion need to be careful when we go out and spend time outside, even in the winter before it gets too much, before it gets warm and the snow goes. If you've been out on the snow, maybe skiing or ice fishing out in the open, you know that the snow itself can reflect the sun's light and give you sunburn. Or if you're out on the water, certain places, they reflect more light and have more of an effect on you. Reflected sunlight, and when it's concentrated, can have even a greater effect. Some of you have maybe heard about or seen images of a certain type of solar power plant, not the photoelectric cells that you see we got around the countryside here, but these are massive installations, usually in desert, sunny kind of places, not around here so much. But there are several of these around the world, even a couple in our own country, where they have a vast array of mirrors that are all focused on a tower. And inside that tower is equipment where they'll have something that gets heated by all this focused sunlight. One of the popular substances is some kind of salt that actually melts. It gets that hot to melt salt, all right? And then that's used to generate steam, which in fact turns a turbine and generates electricity. All this focused light, all these polished mirrors focused on that tower, superheating the contents of it. You'll get more than a sunburn if you get in the way of that focused sunlight. Matter of fact, you can go online and watch videos of birds that happen to fly by, and you just see a smoking trail come down. They become incinerated with the corpses of birds laying around the base of these towers because of the brilliant, intense heat and light of the sun focused from all these reflected beams of these mirrors. The light of God's glory is even more intense than that. The passage Sophie read from in Exodus chapter 34 is when Moses was in the wilderness with the people of Israel, and he was going to spend time with God in this tent of meeting. And also up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. Moses asked that God would show him his glory. Moses desired to have that experience of God's glory. Moses didn't really fully appreciate what he was asking. When Moses made that request, the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face." The Lord said to Moses, "You cannot see my face. Why? For no one may see me and live." The intensity of God's glory, his radiance, it's too much for a fallen sinner like you and I, even for Moses. Then the Lord said, "There's a place near me where you may stand on the rock. When my glory passes by, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I'll remove my hand and you'll see my back, but my face you must not see." He got just a little bit, and that was all he could bear. And so when Moses had spent time with the Lord in the tent of meeting, when he was in this communion with the Lord, when he came out, we read his face was radiant. It was reflecting this glory of this light being in the presence of God, even this reduced amount of God's glory. And the people, when they saw Moses in this reflected glory, they were frightened. Until he said, "No, come back. Let me tell you what God has told me." And then he covered his face with a veil so that they couldn't see this glory and see it fading away until the next time he went in to be with the Lord and got radiant again. This was a regular thing that was happening. It's like these glow-in-the-dark toys. You know, you stick them under a light bulb for a while, and you turn off the light, then it glows for a time, and then it finally stops glowing until you stick it under the light again. It seems like this radiance from God, that it would last for a time, but it would eventually fade. And that's what the Apostle Paul is bringing up in this passage today, comparing this fading glory of the Old Covenant, of the Old Testament, of God's righteous law, which condemns sinners because they don't measure up to God's righteousness and holiness. That was a glorious covenant. This law that God gave to Moses that he brought down from Sinai. And the radiance of that would reflect off of Moses. But now, in Jesus, we have something even greater. A glory from God that doesn't condemn sin or sinners, but redeems them. The glory of the new covenant. And it's all centered on this Jesus who appears on the mountaintop with Peter, James, and John, and who himself becomes dazzling bright in his appearance and elicits the expected response from sinful human beings. Peter, James, and John. Peter didn't know what to say. Why? Because he was so scared. He was frightened in the presence of the holiness of Jesus, in the presence of these two holy men from the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah, both of whom had very amazing encounters with God, and that God did amazing things through them. Things that caused regular folk to fear and shake in their boots. And now they were with Jesus, this one who himself becomes radiant and bright, this Jesus who the prophet Isaiah says there is nothing unusual about him that attracted him by his appearance. He was a normal human being. in one respect, and yet he was also the Son of God, and they got a glimpse of it on the top of the mountain that day. And it was just about more than they could bear. And the cloud envelops them, perhaps protecting them from seeing the full radiance. You know how God showed himself to the Israelites in the wilderness in a pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, both revealing and concealing the glory of God, his presence with them. And so this glory, getting back to the Apostle Paul, focused and centered on this Jesus who we get a glimpse of his glory on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. But this glory would not take effect. It could not take effect until something else happened. And Jesus alluded to it in the passage. He said not to mention anything about this mountaintop experience until he had risen from the dead. That means Jesus has to die. This glorious one who stands on top of the mountain in this brilliant radiance, he has to go to a very dark place, a tomb, before the fullness of this radiance of Jesus can be given to us. That's why the glory of the new covenant is greater. It's greater because of Jesus, who sacrificed himself, that we might be reflectors of a new and greater glory. And not only are we merely reflectors, this light that comes upon us in Christ, this new covenant, this new creation, this new mystical union that we have with our Creator God, that was broken in the garden with our sin, but now is restored in Christ. This light that comes upon us reflects to others with unveiled faces. But it does more than bounce off of us. It goes into us. It changes us. That's the effect of it. We are being transformed into his image, Paul writes. And this in verse 18 here in 2 Corinthians 3, it says in the translation you have in your pew Bibles, it says, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. You see a footnote, it says a reflect. I think the better translation is reflect here. The word can mean both things, but in this context, it's about the shining of it. It's not just about us kind of thinking about this glory, but it's about it bouncing off us and shining. But it has the implication of contemplate in the sense it does go into us. It does change us. So both words are right. But if you go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul talks about this again in another way, in another place, of the effect of this glory upon us. Paul writes in Romans 12, 1 and 2, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." And here it is again. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. How does this happen? It happens when this glory of God, the presence of God, the truth of God enters into us and it changes us from the inside out. It's no longer about do's and don'ts written on stone that our old nature is coerced to keep by threat of punishment. Rather, it's now God's word written on hearts of flesh by the Spirit who brings life. The letter of the law, the outwards, the you shall not, you must, that kills us because we can't measure up. But the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, one and the same, comes into us. It breathes new spiritual life into us. And that is what this glory is all about. That it comes into us and it changes us, and it also reflects out that our light, which is not really ours, it is ours, that it's given to us, but it's not ours because it doesn't originate from us. It comes from Jesus, the one who is standing on the mountain, shining bright in the presence of his disciples, and the one now who has risen from the dead and is shining bright from his throne in heaven, and who has sent his Spirit into our hearts to change us, to metamorphosize us. That's the word that tracks from the transfiguration. Jesus was changed or transfigured. It's a metamorphosis, like the caterpillar to the butterfly. It goes through this dramatic, glorious change that God has put into nature to give us a picture of what happens to us when his Spirit comes into us. Yeah, our outside physical appearance might not look any different the day before we're saved and come to faith in Jesus, and the day after we look kind of the same on the outside perhaps. But inside, in a spiritual reality, there's a day and night difference. It's from death to life. And a life that is reshaping us even as we walk and breathe on this earth. Be transformed, be changed. You think about how a mirror works, how the sun hits it, or light hits it and it reflects. Well, if the mirror is dirty, it doesn't reflect real well. It needs to be cleaned. If the mirror isn't fully polished and finished, it doesn't reflect well. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit on us, is polishing those rough edges, is cleaning again and again the soil that we collect on ourselves in our sin. When that is washed off, when that is cleaned, when his Holy Spirit is at work in us, confronting us in our sin and reshaping us, we become better reflectors of his light, and we become transformed more and more into his image, into his likeness. It's no longer I who live, Paul writes to the Galatians, but Christ who lives in me. And that's the ever-increasing glory, that we're moving from glory to glory. It's true on a couple of levels. As we grow in Christ, as we spend time with him, just like Moses spent time with God in the tent of meeting, as we spend time with God in prayer, in his word, reading these words of life, which the Spirit takes and changes us with, we grow, we get transformed into his image, into his likeness. And that happens in this life on one level. But then, when this life is done, when we no longer have to struggle with our sinful flesh, there'll be a glory that's beyond all comprehension that we'll experience with him face to face in heaven. And then the sun, the light won't hurt our eyes anymore. You imagine how well we'll see when we finally experience what it means to have unveiled faces, the beautiful picture of a bride whose face is unveiled, and you see the radiance in the face of a bride. Why is that? That radiance is elicited because she's in the face-to-face presence of her beloved. And Christ refers to you and I as his bride, the church. And that day when the veil is lifted fully, What a day that will be. That's glory. Glory to glory. And we get to experience that in an increasing manner, even on this earth, even in the midst of the struggles. This is the Paul who's talking about this glory to glory is the same one who talks about being crushed or being oppressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, carrying around in his body the death of Christ. It's not that this life is easy as a believer, anything but. But even as we experience those difficulties, this other reality is a reality, a glorious one, because of this Jesus, who not only stood on the mountain, but went to the valley and was lifted up on the cross and rose again. That's why we gather as believers. That's why we pray together. That's why we pray individually. That's why we spend time in His Word to remind us of this reality. Because if we just look at the world, our mirrors just get dirty. We don't reflect. We don't see it ourselves. And we don't feel it ourselves. If anything, we feel just accused and burdened. But when we hear the good news that the blood of Christ has washed our sins, we begin to appropriate that freedom that the Spirit brings, that comes in Jesus. Amen.